The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good morning and welcome in. I am John Von Tobel, filling in for Gil Alexander, who is off doing his, am I allowed to say this legally?
Yeah.
Civic duty. Jury duty.
I think,
yeah, I don't know. I think that's a, so Gil is off for jury duty today. He will be back tomorrow unless I have spoken this to in existence. I told John Goulet this, unless he gets like the case of the century.
Yeah, I haven't heard from him, so I don't know if he, I think they got the call last night, whether he even have to show up or not. So he might just be at home sleeping right now. I don't really know. Or maybe he had to go this morning, check in and see where he's at. And, yeah, maybe he's going to be sequestered for 2 months, and you're going to be here.
I don't know, statute of limitations and how this works, and I might be admitting to a crime of some sort here.
Way to start the show.
it's not like a crazy crime, I don't think. Let me Google the results of this here. I've moved a lot throughout my, you know, adulthood from 18. Mm-hmm. You know, I've apartments almost every single year, kind of move around, whatever. I've never gotten a jury duty summons. Now, I think that's probably because I just failed to change my address a bunch. So, like, there were times.
That probably,
you know what I mean? I probably
yes.
have,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
been sent one, but I have never opened my mail and seen a thing that says you have jury duty.
I get them all the time here in Nevada. Please don't send them anymore. That's my way of saying, yeah, I haven't gotten one since I moved here. So, yeah, I don't want to get one.
I did get a nice postcard from the Nevada, like, Justice Department or whatever one time that said I had a warrant out for my arrest. Apparently, there was, like, a ticket that I just didn't, like, take care of that I forgot about.
That happened to me,
right,
too.
But it was,
yes.
like, a nice little postcard. It was just like, by the way, you have a warrant out for your arrest. I was like, wow, this is really courteous.
I didn't get a postcard. I found out about it the next time I got pulled over for speeding. And
oh,
the guy
really?
Was like, by the way, you didn't pay a ticket. You technically have a warrant out. I was like, oh, okay. Let's get that fixed real quick, please.
Yes, that's fine. All right. Well, Gil is off just for today, hopefully. I've actually never experienced jury duty. I hear it's terrible. If it's anything like the show Jury Duty on Amazon Prime, it sounds like a lot of fun and it looks like a lot of fun. But I'm sure that that's not what Gil is experiencing here today. Probably a lot of sorrow. Much like the sorrow that I felt last night in watching the NBA, what a game yesterday. 119-116, the Phoenix Suns end up taking out the Golden State Warriors in what might have been a game that could have been ruined by injury. Of course, we know that Kevin Durant ended up not playing in that game. Draymond Green got ejected early in that game for doing I don't know what
Draymond things.
Yeah, he was trying to do. For anybody who has not seen the clip of Draymond Green getting ejected, very much worth looking at. A third time this season that he's been ejected.
It was like one of the blockers on the Ravens punt return. It was just full helicopter mode. It was like, I can't control my arms.
Right.
Oh, I hit you in the face. Sorry, Nurkic.
It was such a weird thing. But it was also a weird betting night last night in this game. So you see the closing number. So some really late steam actually shoved this number all the way to Warriors minus two. Last night, pre-flop.
Wow.
It was kind of odd. Doug Kazarian, only as I know it's onlyplayers.com, but as I say, onlyplayers.com, he tweeted out, like, oh, some late steam here pushing this up to one. And I was like, what? Because I had just stopped checking the number. I figured we're going to close around three, whatever. Not the case. And it looked like that was going to be the right side. The Warriors had opened up at about an 11-point lead. Looked like they were going to run all over Phoenix. Suns come storming back, part of a big fourth quarter from Devin Booker. But the shenanigans in this game near the end, especially with some of these early pre-flop numbers, where at the end of this game, Kelly, before Kevin Durant's injury, I had bet this under 234.5.
Great CLV.
Yeah, right. Close is 228.5, 229 in some spots. There's no KD. I'm feeling absolutely tremendous. And as I told you, 203 points with 4 minutes left to go. I'm like, you know what? I might get a little misty, but I should be okay at the end of this. Nope. Not the case. It comes down with 5 seconds left. Pajemski for the Golden State Warriors, their wonderful rookie who has been pretty solid for them so far this season. But Brandon Pajemski gets a rebound inbounds the ball after a made free throw from Bradley Beal, puts them up five, the Suns. But there's like less than 5 seconds left. They let him run the length of the court. He hits a layup. It goes over the total of 234.5 by the hook. It gets right on three, so anybody who got in early and late 3.5 with the Phoenix Suns got burned. Now, again, it closed 2 and 229, so it was well over some of those numbers, but boy, oh boy, somebody got in early. I have been burned by the hook quite a few times here in the last few days at the NBA.
What were you telling me pre-show? What has it been now?
So I've had
this. Dating back to Friday?
It's dating back to Friday. Thunder
Warriors, where we both got hosed, yeah.
Under 234.5 and a close, and a totally close 229. Went over by the hook. The Warriors-Thunder game, it was Friday night as I was celebrating my young son's birthday. It was ruined by the fact that, actually, it was Pajemski again.
It was
Pajemski again. He hit the shot with no time left.
Pajemski's, I think he screwed me on three bets this year. Two bets. You were on this one. This would have been the third one if I was on this side.
For those who don't know, at the end of the Warriors-Thunder game in overtime, they're down by four, and there's no point because there's like 7 seconds left. They miss a shot, almost turn it over. The ball finds Pajemski again. He misses a putback and then puts it back for a second attempt and it falls on two. I had laid 2.5. So, yeah, it's been brutal. I had a Memphis Grizzlies team total the other day, over 113.5, finished with 113 points. So, the NBA has been a lot of fun over the last couple of days.
Yeah, it's NBA betting, as we were talking about. It's before the show. It's the ebbs and flows of the season. It happens. You have to just mentally get through it. And there are times every season, at least once or twice, where it feels like you just got sucker punched over a series of days. And, yeah, that's what you're going through right now, man.
Yes. I'll persevere. By the way, the Warriors fall to 10-13 on the season. They were actually 9-2 against the spread on the road beforehand. And, of course, depending on closing numbers and whatnot, that does improve. Or, excuse me, depending on what you got it. But the closing number, they'll fall to 9-3 ATS. But when you look at it overall, they are a team that is covered at a very high rate on the road this season. And when you look at both teams, as we kind of move forward, Kelly, the big story for Phoenix is, I think, twofold. First off, we have yet to see the big three play together.
Yep.
Bradley Beal looks somewhat decent coming back from this long injury. 16 points, 5 of 12 shooting, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. Again, on 27 minutes, they kind of limited what he wanted to do from a minutes perspective. And I'll say this, I might be crazy. I don't think it's dead yet, but I did bet Devin Booker before the season started to win MVP. 32-4-7 on 12 of 23 shooting last night. I did the Undertaker meme, like, you know, sitting up in the coffin. I think he's got a little bit of life. I think the heartbeat's
there. He's awesome. He is absolutely awesome. I can't wait. I mean, possibly tonight, I guess we could see all three. I think that's maybe doubtful on a back-to-back.
Especially with Beal. Right,
right. That's what I'm saying. More with Beal than even Durant probably tonight. But there's a chance, at least right now. It's nobody's worse than questionable.
Yep, at this point right now. The other part from last night is we were looking at, again, it was a pretty short card yesterday in the NBA. In terms of the takeaways, too, maybe something worth noting as we move forward, but both teams coming out of the in-season tournament final, we were wondering what those results were going to be like. Indiana responds really well the other day. They come in and they beat Detroit by margin. They end up covering their first game. That was on Monday. Tuesday night, the Lakers.
Oh, yeah, that was another half-pointer. That's right.
Yeah, it was another half-pointer. You're right. Thank you. That was the other one I was there for.
Detroit plus 7.5, JVT. We were both on it.
Lost by eight. It was great. Yep. But for the Lakers last night, ended up getting off to a really slow start. Looked like a team that maybe had hung out in Vegas for a couple of days after winning a little bit of a championship, if you will. Got off to a slow start in the first half. Had a massive third quarter in which they ended up taking the lead, but ended up losing by two on the road to the Dallas Mavericks. So that was one as well where, it's a mixed bag of results. We'll see what comes from it as the sample size grows over the years. But anybody looking to play against the angle of teams coming off of these in-season tournaments, so far, in a small sample size, nothing to really take away. As we've seen so far.
Yeah, not really. Lakers then go into play San Antonio tonight. LeBron and AD both listed as questionable, JVT, but they are only 2-point favorites on the road. I think that that line would signal to you that there is not much belief that I would guess either is going to play. I think both those guys.
I mean, San Antonio's power rated the exact same as the Dallas Mavericks.
Right, exactly.
All right, we have a bunch of games tonight in the association, but I do think that there is one very much worth hitting on because you talk about the in-season tournament, a rematch of the semifinals in the in-season tournament out here in Las Vegas. The Milwaukee Bucks are taking on the Indiana Pacers, and we have this total now at 258.5. That is exactly where it closed at Circa and in other spots. On Thursday last week, we watched that game in person. I bet under 258.5 of that game. Ended up with 240-ish, something around there. There's some sort of points. Ended up going under the total. I understand potentially rehanging this at that same number because regular season basketball is different. However, having said that, like, these two teams did just play. There is a sense of familiarity. This is going to be, I believe, their third game against one another, mm-hmm. so they are definitely familiar with each other, Kelly. And the Bucks did just watch the Lakers on Saturday put forth a game plan that was very successful in stymieing this offense for Indiana. They were blitzing off screens. Every time Tyrese Haliburton brought somebody over to screen for him, there were two Lakers defenders in his face, and Lakers defenders with length, right? It was Jared Vanderbilt. It was Cam Reddish. It was Anthony Davis. We got some length here on this Bucks team.
Right.
I do wonder what this is going to look like. Now, the point of attack with Damian Lillard is not the same, but again, I think I just want to come back to, I might hate it, but under 258.5.
Yeah, I like that we're both considering similar things from the in-season tournament. I didn't bet the Bucks pregame in that one. I did for this one. I hear you on the total. I think that, yeah, I mean, really that adjustment is, I think you hit on it. It's just what, now this is an NBA regular season game compared to something that means slightly something in the semifinals of the in-season tournament. So that's, I'm with you on that. It would still be lean under for me. This still is what, tied for the largest total that we've seen in 30 years now. We'll see if we go any higher. It is funny that this number really hasn't moved much since they opened it, 258.5. Really hasn't gone anywhere. I thought the side opening was interesting as well, which JVT is. I got a 5.5, 6.5 now. But at the time, 5.5, we saw this game here in Vegas, it was 4.5, 5 yep. to the Bucks side. So really only adjusting it, you know, a point to a half a point for home court on the Milwaukee side felt a little odd for me. Obviously, the Bucks lose that game to the Pacers. But like you said, you get the kind of game plan layout, I think, from the Lakers that you do have the pieces to employ. Is Brook Lopez as athletic and as quick as AD? No. But still, they have the pieces here. I think that they could work that in. So I did bet the Bucks side tonight. I think they get a chance here to come back and get some vengeance on the Pacers.
All right, when we come back here on a numbers game, yes, no playoff props. And what am I missing with this team? Plus 160 to make the playoffs. It seems like a steal. We'll tell you who that is when we come back here on a numbers game. It is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN Pro subscribers get all sorts of cool stuff up on the website. You get Pro Tools, one of my favorites, the NBA Daily Player Prop Tool.
Yeah.
Yeah, which you can look at the history of player props. You can see where a guy's rebounds were at 5 days ago, where they're at now. You can shop around, all sorts of great stuff. The picks page, you get pro tips and more. And if you're not a VSiN Pro subscriber, just get a little sample, right? It's a Costco version of it. Introductory offer for $9.99. Check out all your options, though, at VSiN.com/subscribe. When was the last time you got a sample at a store?
Oh.
I get samples a lot at liquor stores. Not that I go a lot. I'm just saying.
That was the only one I had. I was at a Lee's Liquor like 2 weeks ago or something, and trying to remember what I even sampled. Something gross, like vodka, which I don't really drink. Some kind of vodka. But yeah, like food sample?
Yeah.
Good point. Not a long time.
Yeah, it's been
a long time. Probably the last time I was at Costco with my father, because he's that guy who just has a girlfriend yet still somehow goes to Costco for everything.
Yep.
And I'm like, why are you shopping in bulk? Like, there's two of you. Wait, like, why?
I got to get a Costco thing.
Yeah, you got to get that figured out.
They're bottomless pits. It's insanity. How much money is it? The other day, my kid asked me, he's like, why do you work every day? I was like, have you seen what you guys do to me?
Why do you work every day?
Because I have to. I'd be out of it. We'd have nothing left at all. By the way, love free alcohol samples. Just throw that out there. Absolutely.
I mean, that's where I was poo-pooing on it, but yeah. Free booze.
It's great.
Yeah, I'm never not going to stop at that
Never
table.
Say no. And there's a lot of times you might get a free shirt with it, which is always really good. I have a Patron, like, T-shirt that I have at home because I was just like, do you want a free sample of Patron? I'll give you the shirt.
Prime example of people love free stuff.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter what it is.
All we have to do is take a picture of you with the shirt, and you get this free alcohol.
Shirts, stress balls, just anything. Anything free people love.
All right, so I mentioned, I think I teased it out, like, it's like stealing or free money, whatever, speaking of free. Not anything in sports betting is ever free. But we were going to go over NFL yes-no playoffs, right, to make the playoffs. And where we're at now with about, what do we have, 4 weeks left to go, something like that in the National Football League?
Yep.
And when you sent this over and I was going over it, There were two that immediately stuck out to me. I will admit there was a third that did stick out, but reevaluating their schedule, and that was about 3-1. I was like, I don't know about this one. So there were three teams that stuck out. And the one that I was teasing out in terms of, yes, plus 160 to make the playoffs, and it's funny because it sounds like it's the one that you looked at as well that immediately stuck out to you, is the Los Angeles Rams, who just went up into Baltimore, lost a tough overtime game to the Ravens over the weekend, a very fun one that I had to sweat out a teaser leg on. But with the Rams, Kelly, who are 6-7, what immediately sticks out to you, I think, for L.A., and it probably stuck out to you, is the way their schedule breaks down as they move forward and the opportunity in front of them to potentially take out some teams that would not only be in their way for a wild card, but also the strength of the schedule that they have moving forward. They, of course, come up this weekend. They get a home game against the Washington Commanders. They follow that up with a home game against the Saints. They'd be favored in both of those games and favored against the Commanders. On the road against the New York Giants. Sorry, I get it. Tommy DeVito, right? He's great. Yeah. And his agent is
still favored.
Right, exactly. On the road against the Giants, you're going to be favored there.
I guess unless the Giants rip off two more wins and somehow do it by margin, maybe we're reevaluating. But otherwise, I think you're just talking about Rams being a safe favorite.
And let's say, right, and let's say that's the case. It's still going to be a coin flip spot regardless, right? Yeah, you're still talking about a winnable game on the road within a field goal, and I would say less than a field goal if the Giants are favored by the time they get to that one on the road. And then the last one piques your interest because you're like, well, it's San Francisco. There's a chance that San Francisco has nothing to play for in that final game of the regular season. And you go to San Francisco and you're taking on, now the potential is still, like you're taking on Sam Darnold and there's some still, you know, an offense that raises the floor and a very solid defense with depth. But you're playing, you're playing a team on the road that more than likely has nothing to play for in that final game and will be resting a lot of key players. So there's a sense that that could be it. At plus 160, it does seem that there's two teams that stuck out, but this was at the top of the list for me, the L.A. Rams. And given how well they played, again, they went to Baltimore. They played extremely well and lost in overtime there. I think that the Rams are, I think, at the top of the list of yes, no, but you're betting yes to make the playoffs.
Yeah, it was really interesting to see kind of how long it took books to re-release these yesterday after the two Monday night games and how wild those were and really affected almost everything in these playoffs.
Can I say really quickly? Yeah. So I did not watch the Monday night games live. I went back on Tuesday morning to watch them, right? I'm watching that Dolphins game, and I'm like, when does it start?
Right.
There's no way. There's no way that this actually, because I knew the final score.
Well, it was almost,
and I'm like, what is happening?
It was almost, when does it start twice, right? Because you're like, this game's close. Like,
right.
I thought the Dolphins blew some big lead, and then it's like late. You're like, oh, okay. Then they go up touchdown. Well, oh, then they go up two touchdowns.
First, it was the scoring, because I'm like, dude, it's like 13-13. What are we doing? Like, and there's like, we're in the fourth quarter. That was, anyway, so continue.
No, it was just so Rams. Yeah, I'm with you. This is the one I identified too. We'll get to AFC next. Yeah. NFC. There were still a lot of numbers off the board. A lot of quarterback questions going on. Eagles are just obviously they're in, so they're going to be off the board there anyways. Yeah, I mean, I guess the way I kind of looked at this, JVT, is you are down to look the NFC South. Some team's going to win that division. And the Eagles are going to be right in there, or Eagles or Cowboys are going to be right in there at number five. So then you're talking about two spots. It does make this a little tougher than maybe the AFC, where all three spots are kind of up for grabs, but two spots up for grabs. And to me, it's really down between four teams. Vikings, Packers, Rams, Seahawks, because I don't trust any of those any other NFC South teams. And I'm with you. It was just looking at the schedules, and then you're looking at what you know, how this could play out. And I think this Packers team, look, are they as bad as what you saw on Monday night? No, but they're not as good as what you saw the two weeks beforehand either, right? So they're somewhere in between. I think this Rams offense has just been, they've just been incredible when they have the four guys on the field. When it's Stafford, he's got the two wide receivers and Kupp and Nacua and Kyren Williams. Just incredible. It's seemingly just having those four guys on the field makes this offense as powerful as it does. And when they do, though, it's top 10 offense in the league. The defense might not be great, but they can go out there and beat anybody with an offense.
On Sunday, they were down to like their fourth string tight end.
Right.
And they were still operating at a really high level. I'll say this really quickly. What works against us here is that they don't have the tiebreaker with the Green Bay Packers.
Right,
and so, like, you lost that one head-to-head 20-3. So if you go on, if the Packers maintain the same form that you do, you're both 6-7, you lose out on that tiebreaker. Packers currently hold the seventh seed as it stands right now. That's the one thing. And with Green Bay, the thing that works for them, their remaining schedule, Buccaneers, Panthers, Vikings, Bears. Like, that's what you're really fighting against, is you're hoping that the Rams can maintain form. You probably need them to win out. and you need the Packers to lose one of these last four games that are very winnable games down the stretch.
I mean, you might, right? Because it could be Green Bay and L.A.
That's a good point, yeah.
You know, right, it could just be Minnesota and Seattle that you need to take a step back.
That's a good point because Green Bay does have a game against Minnesota.
Right, and then Seattle, you also have the Rams do have the tiebreaker and would, if it plays out the way we think it did, would, they would have the division tiebreaker or the tiebreaker in general over Seattle.
Yep. So the other one really quickly that I wanted to bring up, did you have anything else in the NFC? Because I had one in the AFC.
No, let's go to the AFC. It's a more interesting conversation there anyways.
So I think the sexy one that immediately draws everybody's attention, and I think rightfully so, is Denver, right? So Denver is currently sitting ninth at 7-6, so two spots out of a playoff spot. But again, you look at the remaining schedule. So now what you need to happen is, of course, on the road this weekend in Detroit. I think that's a winnable game. We've seen Detroit kind of shrivel up a bit. We know that this is a flawed team that I think is not as good as a record indicates. Mm-hmm. The statistics would tell you they're a team that is not as good as the record indicates. So a winnable game here against Detroit. But again, you're an underdog. But look at the rest of the schedule for this team. New England at home, the Chargers at home, on the road against the Las Vegas Raiders. You're talking about three teams with massive quarterback issues. Rumors already bubbling up that Jimmy G might make a return for Las Vegas at some point because it's just been so bad for Aiden O'Connell. But if you get past Detroit here this weekend, you're talking about a Broncos team that is going to be favored in their last three games, two of which come at home, all against abysmal quarterback situations for this defense, which has gotten better every single week.
Yeah, the concern, and Gil and I were talking about this earlier in the week, this Denver team's just still so tough for me to figure out because I think it's so hard to judge really what they've done the past 5 weeks was with the turnover differential so much in their favor, and then what happened with Herbert and the Chargers last week, right, where you're already kind of in that mode of playing a backup quarterback. It's so hard for me to really judge how good or bad or just extremely average I think this team is. The one thing I wrote down, I did circle this one as well, JVT, because I think, the schedule cannot be ignored. No matter what you think about Denver,
right,
that schedule really can't be ignored those last 3 weeks. I don't have enough confidence in this team to make that sort of bet now. I would have to wait to see what this Lions game looks like and what else happens in the AFC playoff picture. And maybe they play a competitive game with the Lions but still lose against the Lions. You can get a better number on this team next week as you run, go through that easy runway to end the season. That's probably how I would play.
Yeah, and I do think, you mentioned like being competitive here against the Lions this week. I do think that they are the side here against Detroit as well. I grabbed a piece of 5.5, so we'll see if that's going to be something that comes to fruition, but I think that this is more anti-Detroit than anything else.
Yeah, no, and I understand that. I mean, they've looked bad. The other ones I point out, like, I bet the Bills this week. I think if you're on the Bills train, then you're probably, like, if you wanted to go bet even money to make the playoffs, sure, go for it. I'd probably just, bet longer odd stuff of them going even further. I think the one no, with all these teams we're talking about, the Colts no has to become attractive in some way.
I didn't want to bring it up.
Yeah,
I didn't want to speak that into existence. Doing on his own, Shane Steichen doing a great job with my team. All right, we'll take a break. Come back. Will Hill? He's going to join us next. Let's talk to Will Hill about some NFL, some college, whatever he wants to talk about. Man, it's Will's moment. It's a numbers game here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. JVT filling in for Gil. The game changes in an instant in the NBA. Trust me, I know. I watched Brandon Podziemski screw me over yesterday. But no matter how the action unfolds, DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code VSIN. The crown is yours. Back here on the numbers game, I'm Jonathan Von Tobel filling in for Gil Alexander, filling his civic duty and in for jury duty. So you just sit in a room? Is that what you do? You just go there and then you just kind of wait to get called?
Yeah, okay. Pretty much. Yeah, you kind of go check in, wait to see if you get called.
Well, then if you tell, but so I've experienced that. I'm kind of, all right, to give our audience a little bit of background, I've had many jobs in my life, like a lot.
Yes, you have.
And one of the jobs that I hated the most was I was a political survey, like, call person at a call center.
I did that for 1 week in college and quit.
I think I've told the story before, but I'll say it one more time. One time I got hung up on, and one of the guys leaned over and said, kid, I've been here for 12 years. I'll give you the ropes. And I said, no. I went back to school, and here I am. But I do actually answer political calls because I know how it is, so I'll actually answer.
Right, right.
But
right.
What I'm getting to, and it ties into what Gil is that every time when they ask you, and this is also why I answer, when you answer, they ask you, are you in media? And I say yes, and immediately it's like, thanks, see you later, and they hang up on you. Is that the same thing with jury duty? Like, does Gil just get to tell them, I work in media? It's not traditional media, but it's media.
Yeah. I mean, I think for what we do, they don't care as much. If you're a news anchor or a news reporter or something, they care a little bit more. Usually, I've heard those stories, but yeah, I don't think that's going to be the instant cross off for Gil this morning.
I mean, as long as he takes that route, and not some of the more drastic routes that are out there, as we know, in terms of rumors to get out of jury duty, you don't want to do those things.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the other way I was just talking about with him yesterday, it's like you also don't want to. You don't want to try to get out of it with some excuse that's just going to delay it for like okay, cool, come back next month.
Right.
Right, you can't keep doing that. You don't want to keep doing that either.
I got gout, I can't be here that long.
Right.
Something like that. I've never had gout. Is that a foot thing?
No, it's something in your stomach.
Okay, I have no idea. I've got nothing. At me, JVT. If
you it is a foot thing.
It is?
Right.
Okay, all right, cool.
I don't know what the hell I was.
At me, JVT. Text me if you had gout.
Inflammatory arthritis.
Oh, okay.
It causes pain and swelling in your joints.
There we go. See? You can't do jury duty with that. Just tell them, Gil. I used to tell the doctor I had cataracts for different reasons. All right. Let's talk let's talk awards, baby. So we talked MVP. We did talk a little bit about Coach of the Year with Will Hill, and I do think he had a really good point in that, looking at this from a Coach of the Year standpoint in the National Football League. I wouldn't say no to Kyle Shanahan again. I am fascinated by that dynamic, like Kyle Shanahan versus Brock Purdy, because the conversation around Brock Purdy, for those who get extreme with it, is he is a system quarterback, which I don't believe to be the case. He's executing the system very well. Does the system help him play better? Sure.
Sure.
But there's not many who are going to get plugged in there and operate at this level that Brock Purdy is. But there is that thought process, and because there are some of us that think that, there might be some voters who think that. And so if you're voting for Coach of the Year, right, if you're somebody who votes for both, can you realistically talk yourself into voting for Kyle Shanahan for Coach of the Year and Brock Purdy for MVP? Like, I do wonder if that is a dynamic, or if I'm making something out of nothing.
Like, no, like you said, again, it's whenever we talk awards, it's handicapping voters, right? It's not really handicapping as much as what we think's gonna what we think it should be. It's what do we think the thought process is gonna be? And I, like, the way I always talk about with like that specific JVT is it's the. All it takes is a couple people to think that way, right? And then you're already behind the eight ball with as far as this stuff goes.
You can make a difference with your vote. Go on.
There you go. So, yeah, like, is it a thing? It's enough of a thing when it comes to voting on awards that it's in my mind, that I think you have to keep it in your mind. So, I mean, that got brought up a lot, earlier in the season, right, with the Offensive Player of the Year and MVP with Tua and Tyreek. It was, could you possibly do that? And yes, I think that's in voters' minds that a lot of voters wouldn't do that.
Yep. So I also, when you're looking at this, and I thought Will had a good rebuttal in terms of looking at Harbaugh. I think he's actually done a really good job, but the expectation was that this team was going to be somewhat good. But the expectation was that the 49ers were going to be good.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't know what that, like, I don't know why that would be ignored for Shanahan, but not ignored for Harbaugh. But go ahead.
I just think in general with both those, it's the opportunity to take the one seed and possibly finish in the NFL with the best record.
Well, how about this?
Right. So it's just as plain and simple as that.
For those who are watching up on YouTube TV.
And you're getting double-digit odds for those guys.
So for those who are watching up on YouTube TV and VSiN.com. So if you look at those two names, Kyle Shanahan, John Harbaugh, that trio right there, let me direct you to 14-1. Kevin Stefanski, again, we've got Joe Flacco out here. He doesn't look like prime Joe Flacco, but he's taking shots downfield. Like, he's averaged up to targets in double digits. They're winning football games, like at least competing at some of these things. If they can push on and have a winning record in these last four games and make it, given what Stefanski has had to deal with at the quarterback position, again, now this is defensively driven. If you're a voter, do you say Stefanski is in offensive mind? He does not get credit for it. Again, you're kind of, again, handicapping what people think.
Yeah.
But I do think that is worth a look. You talk about having to make lemonade out of dog poo. Like, that's exactly what Stefanski has done with this team.
So I always think, what do these teams got to do? He's got to make the playoffs. But if he makes the playoffs, and right now they're what, a game up, a game up on all the 7-win teams. If you make the playoffs, it's the one I've gotten the most questions about since this past weekend. And yeah, I think it's live. Of course, I think he's absolutely live. If he makes the playoff, because a lot of these AFC coaches, that's what we're talking about, right? We're just talking about D'Amico Ryans. What were your expectations before the season? Nothing. You get to the playoffs, you're live for this, right? Shane Steichen, same thing. What were the expectations for the Colts? Nothing. You get to the playoffs, you're live for this. Sean Payton, you're live for this. So all those guys, I think, fall into that group, including Zach Taylor. We brought him up as well. So I think there's a case for almost any of those. So what's the you and Will hit on this earlier. I just don't know. I don't know that I believe in any of these guys being in single digits, being that much better than the rest of the field.
Which
so means there's, to me, there's value in this market. I just don't have the one guy I'm running to go bet on.
And that's why it brings us full circle to what we talked about with MVP. We can have all these conversations. I think I can talk, if you sat me down with any Coach of the Year voter, I could sit there and poke holes a thousand ways in Dan Campbell's case to win Coach of the Year.
I have no idea how he's the short shot in this.
But here's the thing.
Again, still don't get it.
Narratively, people love him.
Yeah.
And like, and maybe we're having this whole conversation for no reason.
And that might be the case with Mike McDaniel, too, right?
I mean, potentially. The only thing that works against Mike McDaniel is they have fallen short in the big spots, right?
Yeah.
They have lost to the Kansas City Chiefs, the Buffalo Bills. Like, all these teams that are viewed as contemporaries, they have lost those games.
But to that point, I think Dan Campbell's case and these odds next to Dan Campbell that we're seeing today made a whole lot more sense 2 months ago.
But Kelly.
And now the team's falling apart.
But big rebuttal here. Dan Campbell's funny. Dan Campbell's likable.
Right,
Dan Campbell screams on the sidelines.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we could be having this conversation for absolutely no reason. That in reality, he's actually like minus 500 because all of these voters have made up their minds. Oh, the moribund Lions, they're going to win double-digit games, and Dan Campbell is the funny guy on HBO we watched last year, and he's at the center of all of it. Could be the reason.
Yeah.
I think it's Ben Johnson and other reasons why they're going to be as good as they are, but that's just me. So, anyway, Coach of the Year.
This market is fascinating.
It is a fascinating one.
Who do you think wins it? Who would you bet on today? Who do you think wins this?
If you were to ask me right now who I thought
would win it. And who would you bet on if you had to bet today?
Okay, so those are two different questions.
Yes.
If you're asking me now who I think wins it, I do think it's Dan Campbell because I think that voters are somewhat simple in terms of what they analyze with these. If I were to bet it, it would be Kevin Stefanski.
Assuming that this is unfair because I'm putting another caveat on this. Assuming CJ Stroud is not for some reason gone a long time, you know, multiple weeks.
Sure.
I think D'Amico Ryans wins this award.
Yep.
If I had to make a bet today, it is Kevin Stefanski or Mike McCarthy. Mike, I think there's also, I think it's the same line, kind of the same line of thinking why we brought up Kyle Shanahan and John Harbaugh. Mike McCarthy's just a name. That, okay, the expectations were might have been there with this team, but it's just a name we get used to seeing, and we just don't really care. But, like, okay, you went through the whole play calling change with this team. This is, right now, as we sit here today, the best Cowboys team I've seen in a long time.
Yeah.
You've gotten to that level. If you are able to make a run somehow at possibly flirting with this one seed in the NFC, I think Mike McCarthy's live too.
Nah, he didn't run the ball in that one third down.
Right, exactly.
Against the Seattle Seahawks.
So these are the things where I'm like, voters are not going to remember that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, they're not going to remember that.
All right, let me ask you this really quickly. I sent a text. One of my favorite people, we'll have to continue this on the other side, one of my favorite people in the network, Femi Bebefe, host of Lombardi Line, GM Shuffle. I texted him on Sunday because I asked him, I have a ticket preseason on Myles Garrett at 8-1 to win Defensive Player of the Year. He said, how accurate is the NFL deep point market, do you think? And at that point, Micah Parsons is minus 110. Parsons now minus 130 after a big win on Sunday night over the Philadelphia Eagles. He told me he does not think it's very accurate that Garrett should be the favorite. Where do you land here? Because for a lot of different metrics would point to Myles Garrett having a solid lead here in terms of being the best overall defensive player and being the best player on the best defense in the NFL.
Yeah. This is not one at current odds I'd be running to bet. I think it's more those two are more close to even though to each other that you should be feeling good about your 8-1.
Narratively, why I feel the best, Myles Garrett doesn't have one yet.
It's that and people are just going to point to, tough Cleveland defense, like, leading them to the playoffs. Yeah.
If there was a year he'd win it by default, it would be this year, just like Joel Embiid won it last year.
Right. We didn't have one yet. Right, exactly.
All right, last 10 minutes here on a numbers game. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Don't go anywhere.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You know what I love? Free stuff. All right? I just took up an offer on a free thing. And how about this? You can get our bowl betting guide for free. Check it out now. You don't have to be a pro subscriber. So if you're listening right now or watching and you're like, you know what, I haven't really chatted about it yet, I don't even want to try the introductory offer, well, just get a sample of what we do. Check out the bowl guide for free. You get strategies for betting bowls, how to use betting tools, expert picks. I know the Golics are in there, Musburger's in there, and more. Oh, Steve Mackinnon, his betting systems too. Check out your free copy today, VSiN.com/bowl guide. And if you like what you see, VSiN.com/subscribe and check out the introductory offer for $9.99. You look befuddled. Do I do it? Can I say the line?
Do it.
We get tweets.
We get tweets.
All right, there you go.
All right, coming from Primetime, who does tweet in a lot, used to tweet in Primetime Action all the time. All right, he just added me on this. Sorry, just at Kelly Bidlin. Easiest way to get out of jury duty is walk in, declare both sides that you are the perfect juror due to the fact that, quote, I can just look at someone and know 100% whether they are not guilty. Yes, that will probably work.
That's nice.
This coming from Corbin. Love this episode of Numbers Game This Morning, extended episode of Hardwood Handicappers with a bit of football thrown in. Another thing, I don't even think people can have an argument anymore without having to be right. I think sports voters are the same. Yes, I think that is something we've probably established on the show today. At ND Money tweeting in, VSiN listeners often hear hosts and guests hammer the importance of value, line shopping, CLV, etc., yet I've never heard anyone bring up a player's salary as part of the equation for determining MVP. Purdy isn't the best, definitely most value. At ND Money, I'm a little confused with the question. Did you bring up someone's salary?
No, I mean, I interpreted it.
Or is he saying that's a voters, it should be a part of it?
Or, yeah, the voters will look at his salary or, like, essentially his status and say he's playing well above what we expected coming into the league.
I mean, I think
again,
you could
Mr. D, I'm filling in the gaps here potentially. But
yeah, I think you could tie that into what a lot of people have been saying about, like, oh, him being drafted so late, right? Same kind of thing.
Yes. Okay. I think I get that. Is that it?
I don't know that it – so this – I think it goes back to the last segment, though. Like, again, we're handicapping voters, not what we actually think. And, yeah, I don't know. I don't know that maybe there is a couple voters out there that say, well, Brock Purdy, like, wow, he got drafted that late. He's like, this is incredible. He's got to win MVP.
Bury the lead here. New York Morty. If there was anyone I would want to fill in for Gil, it would be JVT. That was like an hour ago. You're not gonna read this?
Was I on that one? Yeah, I didn't see that.
What are we doing? You're trying to bury the lead. My ego is big enough as it is.
I got another one from New York Morty, but it wasn't about that.
Oh, okay. All right.
Actually, he tweeted me separately and told me you suck. That's what he was.
You know what? I'll take it.
Nah.
Any what is it? Any news is good news or whatever it is?
Any publicity?
Publicity. Yeah, there we go. Whatever. Any publicity is good publicity. I'm in. Okay. Speaking of being in, Kelly, I'm not afraid to be wrong. We're wrong a lot in this business.
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
Never afraid to be wrong. Never. I think it's one of my strengths. Never afraid to be wrong. Okay? Except with my wife. I'm never wrong.
How's that working out for you?
We just had our third marriage anniversary. It's going great. Two kids. Okay. I bring this up because I'm in. I did it again.
Yeah, of course you did.
Now, it's an off-market number-ish, so I think that does help the case.
Yes.
But last night, I don't know if you watched it, but I sure as hell did. And I watched my Los Angeles Clippers absolutely dismantle the Sacramento Kings yesterday. I watched my Los Angeles Clippers win their fifth consecutive game. I watched my Los Angeles Clippers with this new starting lineup that has a net rating of now over 15. I watched my Los Angeles Clippers look like what they could be. And I bet them to win the NBA Finals at 30-1.
And preach. There you go.
How do you like them apples?
30-1.
I still have never seen that movie.
Oh, God. You kill me with this stuff.
Good Will Hunting?
Yes.
Yeah. I know what it is.
You were born. So it's
just never come. He's a janitor? He's like a super smart janitor, right? Is that the concept? I've seen the Family Guy version of it. I've never seen the actual.
So that's how you watch Star Wars, too?
That's exactly how I watch Star Wars. It's brilliant.
No, it's the actual Star Wars. Just watch the Family Guy version of it. Oh, that's great. All right, so what were we talking? We're talking about Clippers, and you got 30-1.
They're
You're
30
right;
to
it is off market, 18-1 at DraftKings.
Yep, and here where we sit right now at Circuits, they're 30-1 to win the NBA Finals.
So we've talked a lot about it on Hardwood Handicappers. I don't have a single bet for a team to win the NBA Finals, to win the Eastern Conference, to win the Western Conference. I do think sitting at 30-1 with a team that is finally rounding into shape, it appears. I think it's a pretty good bet. I think they're live. I think that the West is maybe starting to look a little bit more open than we thought at the beginning of the year. I've been trying to be cautious with the Nuggets, and they've had a little bit of a bumpy run here recently. A lot of it definitely is tied into Jamal Murray health and availability and some of that. But Jokic kind of not having as great of a shooting season as he's had in years past. Mm-hmm. Some of this stuff a little on the decline. You've seen the Warriors I don't trust at all. Even though they've gotten feisty in some of these games recently, I think that team outside of Steph Curry, I don't trust at all. My point is the West, I think, is more wide open than we would have necessarily thought during the summertime, right? The Suns, yes. We still haven't seen the whole big three play a game together yet, so we can't really get that excited about them. The Lakers win an in-season tournament title, but that team is basically the same as what they were a year ago. I don't hate it. It's my long way of saying I don't hate it at all.
And here's the big difference, okay?
I'm just making that bet this early because of health concerns I would still have with Kawhi and Paul George.
And that's I think, the key argument for me.
Mm-hmm.
How many games has Kawhi Leonard missed this year? Do you know?
Oh, like one? Two?
None.
Zero.
He has played in every game. He's
back-to-backs.
And they have the most back-to-backs in third and fourth, three games of four nights of any team in the NBA. He is playing every single night. His last three games, he's starting to get more comfortable. His last three games, 41, 34, and 31, shooting well over 57% from the field in those three games. He is not only healthy, and this was the whole thing, right? When everybody was laughing when they lost five straight, part of the job here is you're going to have to work in some different pieces. But this lineup with Harden on the floor and Russell Westbrook off and their new starting lineup is downright elite, and it's getting better every single week. So I'm just willing to take the risk. I'm willing to do it, especially at off market 30-1, and the way that they've been winning games, the way the West looks, I'm in.
Yeah, I mean, you've pressed me on the pod because there's a team that I can make the same argument about to the negatives that I've been very high on the past couple years. When you have a healthy Zion Williamson, it's the New Orleans Pelicans and what we've seen that team look like. When they have C.J. McCollum, Brandon Ingram, and him on the court, it's just the same thing. I'm just not ready to dive into the futures markets because I am. Can Zion really make it through a whole season? I don't really know. This goes back to our whole two thoughts in your head at the same time,
sure.
Right? So, yeah, I like it. I like the number. There's a chance it's the best number you're going to see all year, so I don't mind the bet at all.
All right, really quickly, tonight in the NBA, you betting anything?
I bet the Bucks. I think this is back-to-back not good cards, though. We talked to Drew Dinsick yesterday. I thought he brought up a good point, JBT, of just this is usually like December, January, February, kind of my favorite time of year to bet the NBA. In-season tournament has thrown this off a little bit.
It's because you know what's throwing me off, too, is all the days off.
That's what Drew brought up. He brought up how this is the time of year that a lot of us like to attack different rest advantage spots. When you've kind of hit this reset period, it makes it a little tougher. I do agree. Last night, I didn't bet a single thing. I'm on the Bucks tonight. I laid 5.5 yesterday, up to 6.5. I think you'd be fine there. You could also look to get an in-game. This is definitely a game where, yes, I bet something pre-game, but I'm going to look in game with how high the total is. We're talking 258.5. Again, remember, this is a rematch from what we saw in the in-season tournament semifinals. A number play for me. We're back at home in Milwaukee. I don't think this adjusted enough from what we saw that in-season tournament number looking like, especially since the total is exactly the same. We did see a bit of a formula from the Lakers, I think, of how you can shut down Tyrese Haliburton, how you can kind of make this team struggle a little bit more on the Pacers side, plus the Bucks. We heard of all the reports about the explosions post-game. I mean, if this is not the –
not actual explosions for anybody watching.
Locker room explosions. But if this is not as much of a revenge spot as you can get in the regular season in the NBA – I don't know what is, and a lot of that was just pure effort problems from the Bucks during that game. So I like this side tonight. Again, I think at this number you could still bet it. I would bet it lightly though, and look to get in live. I think you'll get an opportunity
under 258.5. All right, add that out of the way. Important things. Tweet from Jason who says, "In true numbers game fashion, what does this mean? Can you ask JBT if he has a sushi place?"
Oh, I wanted to read that one to you. What's your favorite sushi place in town?
Okay, so we just went to one, and actually, myself, my wife, and Dustin Sweetelson.
Oh, okay.
All went out together one night. Sushi Neko on Spring Mountain. Awesome.
Okay.
It's the first time I went out there. They also get little meat skewers and stuff like that. All part of all you can eat. Tremendous. Give them
all you can eat.
Yeah, baby.
Oh, okay.
And
so it might be Gil's spot. It might not be. I don't know.
The skewer, why?
Gil's got a secret sushi spot. He won't tell anybody.
What are the chances?
So everybody tweets in about it.
I'll find out. I'll find out. I know Sue.
He hasn't told me. He won't tell me.
This is my city. You think you can get out of here with a secret? Come on. All right, that does it for a numbers game. Gil, unless he's on the trial of the century, should be back tomorrow because he's filling in on jury duty. Appreciate all the kind words and the engagement today. I will see you, what's today, Wednesday? Friday on VSiN Primetime and, of course, on the weekends. With that, I'm sorry. I don't know what's coming up next.